Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Curt Schilling interview is brought to you by Ace Tickets. Ace has your seats to all the games at Fenway this year. For the best seats in town, call Ace Tickets at 1-800-MY-SEATS. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS, or log on to aceticket.com. Curt Schilling, do you have a dog?
Yes, I do.
And
I
is what kind actually. Of dog? What kind of dog is it?
A Rottweiler.
Oh no!
Because that makes you bad.
Tough,
why do you have
man.
A Rottweiler, Curt?
We have a Rottweiler, and we have a an Orpe.
What's an Orpe?
It's a Shar Pei pug crossbreed.
Oh,
now tell us about the Rottweiler.
Well, I've actually he's the seventh one I've owned. I've had Rotties since I was young. 1920, since I actually went out and moved out on my own.
Why a Rottweiler?
Probably all the reasons that a 20-year-old male would get one initially.
Yeah.
Always wanted a big dog, and ended up getting them, and absolutely fell in love with the breed, and have always had them since.
And are you worried about your kids around them?
No. We had one. We went to a special breeder in Pennsylvania to try and get one that was like really big and tough and mean and strong, and kind of found out that they were inbreeding the dogs, and he had some issues with our newborn, and he was gone the next day. That was the only one we ever had a problem with.
You never worried about the temperament? Or?
No, they're incredibly protective animals of the kids and of our space, and it's a very comforting feeling as much as we're gone that we have him. We have Patton in the house.
Hey, the reason this came up is the people who are investigating the Michael Vick situation
say
that there seems to be this subculture in the National Football League of not just having them as pets as you do, but dog fighting. And Dickerson made the good point. It's sort of like having a gun, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's a subculture in the NFL. I think it's a subculture of society. I mean,
it's kind of a status symbol, isn't it, in a way?
Well, I don't know I'm sure you'd have to. There are people that have done a lot of research on this, but I mean, it's a big thing in society, as far as from what I understand. I mean, I'm sure Michael Vick's not in the minority as far as in that culture of breeding those dogs and what they do with them. I mean, I've always believed dogs are like kids. They are what you make them. And but I've never run into a pit bull that was a family dog for people with five or six kids. But that's I don't know that's not the case.
Well,
but
you know what though, Kurt, my guess is that your relationship with Patton is a little different than these men's relationship with their dogs that they fight. They don't look at them as family members. They look at them as I don't know, athletes maybe.
I gotta have a gun. I gotta have a Rottweiler.
Well, you know what, I'm like. I think I'm like you guys in that before Sean and I were married, my dogs were my kids. They were the most important thing in my life. And I grew up in a family. I always had a dog, and I was always my dogs were just incredibly important part of my life. Once you have kids, things change.
Yeah.
But my dog, I cringe and I'm taken aback anytime I see someone that's cruel to animals. Mm. Because I'm definitely an animal lover.
Jeez, Kurt, I'm sorry. We've run out of time. We can't get into the game last night.
I know.
We're sorry.
Hey, I think, and you'll be happy to know this, that once this little flirtation with pitching in the major leagues is over for you, might have a future in sports writing, Kurt. a great line, a craptastic finish to what could have been a nice series. And Mita Perel wanted to know, is craptastic a word? I said, well, 5 years ago, blog wasn't a word. But I like craptastic. A craptastic finish to what could have been a nice series. Obviously a very disappointing night for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a question in there, but that pretty much sums it up.
You said you felt great during the day.
Felt
you felt
great.
Even better after the warm-ups. How often does it happen that those two things are in place and you go out there and you just can't command?
Not often.
Yeah.
Not often. I felt really, really good about I always feel good about going up against a team that I have a lot of history with. I feel very comfortable from an approach standpoint, mm-hmm. and it really comes down to execution. And I don't ever question the execution part of it. I might make some mistakes and lose a game on a mistake or two, but but I'm always very comfortable, and physically I felt good, and somehow that turned into that nightmare that you got a chance to watch last night.
Yeah. You write in the blog, from lack of command to horrible execution, the problems run the gamut. I need an explanation of what the difference is between lack of command and horrible execution. Aren't they the same thing?
Yes and no. I mean, without getting into to detail that I don't want to get into, it's just there's one does not always mean the other. It was just an overall just a bad night.
I'm going to make this assumption. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. You can still be a very good or very effective pitcher, even without the velocity that you had 3 or 4 years ago.
I think I can be a great pitcher.
Oh, okay, but you can't. If your split is not doing what it does, and you talked about it last night,
certainly
not being consistent.
Certainly part of it, absolutely. I mean, the inconsistency of my split is a big part of it. But overall, you know, none of the off-speed stuff for anybody ever matters if you don't command the fastball. And, you know, I literally missed, I think, 4 to 5 times in the first three hitters of the game yesterday. And you know, when you're throwing the ball like Josh is, you'll see Josh make mistakes, somewhat similar to the ones I make. But when you make those mistakes at 95, 96, they're foul balls. They're mishits.
Did you feel your command was better or worse last night with no walks as opposed to your last outing with 4 walks, which is very rare for you?
Well, I mean, there's control and command. Control is the ability to throw strikes. Command is the ability to move the ball around within the strike zone. And, you know, being able to throw strikes is not the challenge, in a sense, especially in the big leagues. Throwing strikes is not going to win you games. It's commanding the ball in the strike zone. And I just have not been able to do that. And I don't think I've done it consistently since late spring training. And if I could tell you that it's exactly what, you know, I mean, I spent 4 days after that Tiger game and really disappointed about the way that game went and from my performance. And really felt good about what we had done and kind of looked at things. And it was really, in my mind, very, very simple. And I thought I fixed it, corrected it, felt great going into the game. And, you know, it unraveled and really in 3 hitters.
Mm.
And it's just frustrating, disappointing.
So I guess when you add to an inconsistent fastball command with inconsistent splitter, that's kind of a deadly daily double, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty – that inconsistent fastball with inconsistent splitter is a very consistent result, and that's usually not a good thing.
So what do you do between now and the next start? What is the process about making adjustments and fixing it, Kurt?
I mope around for a few days, probably. You know, I don't have a choice. I have to fix it. I have to address it. I have to get better, and I have to be ready for Monday. And, you know, that's how, you know, whether you know, that's the only way to go about it. I mean, you know, you do that or you quit. And you know, I know Meter thinks that you know, being as good as he is in his 30 and over wiffle ball league, that I'm probably close to quitting. But I'm not. I mean, it's just I've got to go out and I've got to get better and I've got to fix it.
Well, it was the ultimate insult this morning, Meter.
You know what? He's a punk. He's
let's listen, and he's going to take his medicine. Go ahead. No, you don't.
No, you don't need to play.
Right, yeah.
I know what he said. I mean, but there's a reason that he's only on every 20 minutes doing the flash.
And, you know, so. No, go ahead, Meter. Why say it to him directly?
Put your mic on,
right.
Meter. Put your mic on, brother.
Bomb tosser.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, can you put his mic? Thank
there
you.
We go. Go ahead, Meter.
First of all, Kurt. By the way, I'm a cat guy. Just to clarify, I'm not a dog guy.
that doesn't surprise me. You would have a pussy cat.
I would, yes. Yeah. I grew up with one. But Kurt, no. The point I was trying to make. I'm just looking at the numbers.
You were making a point, dude. You were making fun.
No.
Sure you were. Yeah,
backing up. Back
to lump you with Mike Mussina. God forbid,
the
I lump you with Mike Mussina.
The fact of the matter is that it's, you know, it's one of those mornings where, you know, your funny punchlines aren't funny to me, and that's just they're more irritating than anything.
Kurt, so. The only thing I'm looking at is what you've done. It's a disturbing trend. All right?
Really? Really?
Yeah. Well, huh. Let's take it back to the
step
second.
Step into my shoes, Meter. I live it every day.
I know. I'm sure you do.
Well, you know what? Then to hear your smart-ass comments doesn't make it any funnier or any more informed. You're not telling me anything I don't know. I live it.
I'm sure you do. You I know? Live my existence so, every day, too.
I know.
Trust me.
But to have to wake up and hear, you know, BC's version of Susie Waldman calling me, you know, Kurt Buscini
wow.
is enough, so.
Wow, that's below the belt, Kurt.
Yeah, well, gee, that That's some territory you're pretty familiar with, it sounds
Mills
like.
Mills Lane says, you know, let's dock off some points on that one. Yeah. 96 hits. Let's take it back last year a little bit, all right? 96 hits in the second half in 76 innings. Your opponent's at 310 against you.
Right.
Okay?
You're not telling me anything I don't know.
I know. I'm just trying to. I'm throwing it out here. I'm trying to say that I think it's a bad trend.
Really?
Your hits and innings pitched.
I thought 96 hits in 74 innings was a good trend.
No, obviously
well,
you're
so the master of the obvious, too, then. Well, that's good.
You can call me that
covered.
If you want.
Yeah.
All right, how about 29 hits in 17-plus innings and 12 runs?
That's
for
bad, too,
that's
I think.
Bad?
Yeah. That's bad, too, yeah.
Oh, well, geez.
My question.
You know what? Your baseball IQ is going through the roof in my book.
Why don't you ask him a question, Meter?
My question is, what do you attribute that to?
It's a combination of stuff. I mean, first and foremost, it's the change in velocity, no question. No question.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I think part of that change in velocity is me making it out to be more than it actually is and adjusting maybe in times and places when I probably don't need to. You get caught sometimes in between trying to throw and guide the ball. And when you guide the ball, you tend to lose velocity and command. And because when you don't have consistent confidence in things the way you used to, you have to make adjustments, and I've kind of been in and out of that, and that's been the struggle for me.
Are you more comfortable now with the change than you were earlier on? Is that still something you're tinkering
with? But I'm not getting in position to use it, and that's it all goes back to the fastball. All the other pitches, the change can be as good as it needs to be, but if I I can't go out there and throw a changeup when I'm 2-0-2-1 and not command on my fastball. All those pitches, the split and the slider and the curveball and all those pitches work off of a hitter being aware of the fastball. And when the hitter has to be aware of a fastball on the inside and outside corner, then the other stuff works itself in. And when you're not commanding the fastball either corner, none of that matters.
Kurt, I assume you read what Jason Giambi had to say in USA Today on Friday. What were your thoughts on that?
Disappointed. I can honestly tell you that I've had a chance to get to know Jason, and all of that stuff aside, Jason might be the kindest, softest hearted man I've ever known. And he made mistakes. You hate to see it, but it's certainly I have a lot of other friends and people that I know that have done made mistakes. It's disappointing. We're where we're at as a sport for a lot of different reasons, and it's not just him.
What part of it was disappointing?
Just that he did it. I mean,
not that he said what he said, but that he did it back in the day.
I think that's probably the most disappointing thing. But you know what? I had hoped that to come back and he was very ill. Was it 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
The parasite thing.
Yeah, to see him come back, and it was nice and disappointing. But
I appreciated his honesty. I liked it. I wish more guys were honest.
Well, the unfortunate part, people won't get it that don't know him, but I'll always pull for the guy to get through it and rectify it and do better because he's a good person.
Will his saying that and admitting that and bringing Major League Baseball into the mix not be good for him in the ranks, among the ranks?
No, I don't know. I he certainly didn't mean me when he said we.
Right.
So, I know that, and I didn't think much about it because he said we made mistakes and we need to apologize, and I think he's kind of addressing the group of people that are in the same boat he is that just haven't either admitted it or done anything about it.
Hey, Kurt, before we let you go, unlike Mita Perot, I won't toss a bomb when you're not here. I will toss it to you when you're here. And I will, just a little criticism of your writing here. We got to fix one thing because you made this reference before. Bottom line, you write, is that we have to complete – I'm sorry. Bottom line is that we have complete control of our own destiny. You got to stop that. Destiny is the inevitable or necessary succession of events.
Okay.
What will inevitably happen? So literally, by definition, one can't control their own destiny. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine.
So how would I say that?
We have
control of our...
of how we play. We control our situation.
We're going to take one game at a time.
Any other word but destiny.
We have control of the outcome.
You do.
I mean, we do. And that's kind of... What I meant was...
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we do. We're 9.5 games up, and we play them enough times to make it a non-issue or an issue.
No, I got your point, and everybody does, and it's a very well-used but inappropriately.
Well, I would probably do myself a favor by having an editor. I just can't seem to do that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, hey, don't do it.
Hey, very quickly, the 100 innings for ALS. Tell us about that before we say goodbye.
Yeah, well, all the information is on the link.
Oh, cool.
I think it's www.100innings.com.
Uh-huh.
It's on the website, 38pitches.com. And it's an incredible event. My wife's actually played and pitched in it. They play 100 consecutive innings. They raise money for ALS, and it's pretty much every player on the field for 2 days has a connection, whether it be through their family or friends with ALS. Raises a ton of money and a ton of awareness, and it's an incredible event that I would highly recommend if you're a baseball player. You can actually compete in your athletic meter. You could go out and be a part of this. It's a special,
that leaves Meter out.
Hey, Kurt, did she throw better than you did last night?
Yeah. Meter, you and Shaughnessy make me wish it was late 1800s.
Oh, don't love me with him, man.
You're the same guy. I wish it was the late 1800s where you could just walk into the saloon and punch somebody in the face and walk out. Because you're the guy that sits on the playground, stands behind the teacher, and throws rocks at the bully.
Hold on, Kurt.
I'm going to do something I don't often do or ever do. I'm going to defend Shaughnessy. He was actually good to you this morning.
You know what? He was himself. He can't write an article out taking a shot.
Hey, was there a shot? I didn't see it. Was there a shot?
He's always got a shot.
Hey, speaking of throwing rocks, was there any consideration? I guess probably not after the first three hitters of drilling A-Rod.
Well,
yesterday?
You know what? the attention that it got. That's the unfortunate part about the game now. And the umpires would tell you the same thing. It's left up to them. They don't have to issue warnings to eject people, and you get ejected, you get suspended. If we're going to handle things and we're going to take care of things, we're not going to do it through the media. We're not going to allow things because there's a bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of who feels what about the play and how we feel or how they feel about the play, if there's a problem, you take care of it yourself. You don't do it in the newspaper. You don't do it because, if I were to come, last night, first inning, if I would have, I gave up a 3-run home run. If I were to have tried to throw a fastball and accidentally hit him, I could have gotten thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
Then you got 9 innings of bullpen. Mm. So the game has changed in that sense now. And, when we feel that someone does something that's not appropriate, especially when it's a team within our own division, there's more than enough time to take care of it during the season. And, that's something that the media has made it very hard for the game to take care of itself in a lot of ways.
When you saw the play the other day, what did you think of it live, and what did you think of Dustin's reaction afterwards?
He was pissed, and playing the game hard nowadays is different than it used to be, unfortunately, and I don't know, I didn't see it until I saw the replay. The elbow was probably a little bit over the top, but this is not a situation that you play out on talk radio or in the newspaper as players, because the only thing you're doing now is, we literally get read the riot act before a series when there's potential for something, and the umpires will let teams know, listen, if so-and-so and so-and-so have a problem, they're both going to get thrown out and suspended. They'll tell you that before a series. So the more you can handle internally, the easier it's going to be on the person and on the team.
Final question. Do the initials CB in front of Buckner stand for completely blind?
I was taken aback the first day of that series when I realized he was going to be behind home plate.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, I thought up until the ninth inning he called as good a game as I've had. He missed a couple. I thought he gave me a couple. The first pitch to Matsui in the first inning. A couple pitches, but no more, no less than I think any other good umpire would miss.
Hey, can I ask what you said with your mouth covered by the glove after the first inning when you went in?
Oh, I was just letting him know. He and I have had our issues in the past.
Yeah.
I tried to make it clear to him, as I do with any umpire. Listen, I'm not in a hostile environment of 55,000 people. I'm not going to stand here and question borderline pitches, because the only thing that's going to do is rile the crowd up and put him in a tight spot and in a bad position. And the hardest thing in the game is to get big league hitters out. When you've got to get big league hitters out with an umpire who doesn't like you, that makes it twice as hard to get anything done. So, I just wanted him to know, hey, listen, and a lot of times if you see me ask an umpire where a ball is, I'm going to ask him blatantly where the ball is that I know it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Be- because, you know, if I say, hey, is that ball in, knowing full well it wasn't, and he says, oh, yeah, that ball's in, then I know he missed it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I just clarify one thing you said before? Would you rather have Major League Baseball stepping in the way that you said they do before
games?
No. You'd much rather have it, as you said, if Alex Rodriguez is upset about something Dustin Pedroia did, let Alex Rodriguez handle it on the field or whoever.
Either way, if we have a problem with something someone does on the field, then I'm very confident and comfortable in this team taking care of each other. But the problem started, you know, a while back when it became the rave to charge the mound.
Yeah.
And guys are charging the mound because they're, you know, a lot of times they're getting hit, and the reason they're getting hit is someone's on their own team's fault. And when that happens and guys charge the mound, they're getting hit with breaking balls and just got out of hand, and they had to rein it in, and this is the byproduct of that. The umpires would be the first ones to tell you. I've talked to a lot of them. They don't like the fact that it's left up to them because they have to kind of manage the game and judge intent. And you see guys getting hit with breaking balls, and umpires are throwing guys out of the game.
Kurt, if your turn against San Francisco comes up, do you think somebody will say something to you about Bonds, an umpire?
An umpire? No.
For that
series? No, usually what it ends up being is the crew chief and the managers will meet.
I see.
Or the crew chief will talk to the GMs, or they'll send out letters.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, Major League Baseball.
Keep in mind, Greg, this is the guy that said he wished it was the 1800s so he could walk into the bar and punch Meter in the face. So that's consistent.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be the 1800s. Just have, what's the name of the dog again? Patton?
Patton.
Patton.
Just have Meter come over and dog sit for an hour or two. You'll take care of everything.
Well, I just let Meter walk through my security gate.
Perfect.
Enough.
Hey, just so you know, 100 innings for ALS Marathon. The game is being played May 26th and May 27th at Adams Field in Quincy. And Kurt's right, it's on the website. The other website is 100, that's the number, 100innings.com for details on how to get involved. Kurt, thanks for the conversation this morning. We appreciate
it. Take care, guys.
Thanks,
all
Kurt.
Right. Kurt Schilling.
Bye.
The Kurt Schilling beatdown of Mita Perel was brought to you by Ace Tickets. Ace has your seats to all the
baby.
Game.
No. I'm De La Hoya against Mary.
No, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt Ace Tickets and Jim, who I love, and
yeah,
they're the
don't
best.
Don't interrupt.
But I know how Meter works, okay?
Yeah.
And I know you work with him every day, but yeah. I know him well enough. Here's what Meter is thinking this morning. Oh, I'm going to throw all these bombs at Kurt Schilling. He can't possibly be listening. You know why?
He was up late.
He was up late. He's in Texas with the Red Sox. He's in Arlington. He couldn't possibly be listening.
Didn't even cross my mind.
I was going
to call him Kirk Clemens.
Yeah, you're fearless. You're fearless. You're a Rottweiler. The Kurt Schilling beatdown of Meta Perel brought to you by Ace Tickets. Ace has your seats to all the games at Fenway this year. For the best seats in town, call Ace Tickets at 1-800-MY-SEATS. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS or log on to aceticket.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!